The government has promised to build 1 million new homes by 2020. To help meet that target, some planning laws have been lifted for housing developers willing to use old office space. It certainly worked. Last year, over 12,000 homes were created in converted offices. That was 6% of all the new homes built. It's led to a boom in really small apartments, or rabbit hutch homes, as their critics call them. It's the reason why so many historic buildings in cities like Liverpool are being turned over to studio flats. And that isn't the only problem, as Beatrice Pickup has been finding out.
I'm stood outside a block of flats in Liverpool city centre called Two Moorfields. It used to be an office block, and when developers applied to Liverpool City Council to convert the building into apartments, Lib Dem councillor Richard Kemp voted against the proposals.
Well, there were two reasons for that. One is I believe that this is a commercial district and there are places on the fringe of it which are appropriate for residential accommodation because you do want to mix, but a 30-year-old purpose-built office building wasn't one of them. And the second reason, I objected to what I considered to be the very low space standards of these dwellings. On average, they're 25 square metres of living accommodation. Now, to put that in a Liverpool context, when I first got married, I bought a very small two-up, two-down terraced house, and that's twice the size of one of these new apartments. So they're really two shoeboxes with a toilet and shower suite attached to them.
The national minimum space standards are 37 square metres for a one-bedroom apartment, so there's a significant difference here. Why do you think the developers were proposing such small spaces?
Well, there were two reasons. One of the design of the building itself, what they could get into it, and certainly they make more money the smaller it is. So nothing to do with the living standards required, it's what they can get away with.
But this building must have been empty for a reason. Was it undesirable?
I think it was empty because the developers would make more money by using it for this accommodation. We have had evidence in other blocks where they deliberately raised the rent so they could come to the council and say no one wants to use it. Now, I don't know whether that was the case here, but that's certainly evidence that that's happening in other areas. This just presents a better return for developers than the office blocks that the city actually needs to create the jobs.
In the last 4 years in Liverpool, over 1,000 homes have been created through change of use, some of them from office space. There are studio apartments in this building, currently on the market at £575 a month. So I wonder who lives here. Do you live here, sir?
Yeah.
And why did you choose it?
Because it's ideal to the city centre, that's affordable.
Can you describe the flat for me?
Studio size, not big at all. Big enough though, perfect size for somebody living on their own. You can't have too much baggage though.
No, renting a room, an apartment.
But how many nights?
Three. It's excellent in it, yeah. It's clean, roomy.
Would you be happy to live in a sort of space like that?
No, I wouldn't live in it. Wouldn't live in it, no.
It's just ideal. It's right in the middle of town and I only work around the corner, so it's just simple. But I'm only 25, so that's all I need at the moment.
The government wanted to encourage the conversion of these buildings into homes. So in 2013, they introduced something called permitted development rights, meaning that developers could bypass local authority planning departments, getting permission direct from government instead. The Royal Institute of British Architects is concerned about the impact this has on design.
I'm Julia Park, I'm an architect. I work at a company called Levitt Bernstein in London, and I happen to be the current chair of the RIBA Housing Group. Because by definition permitted development bypasses the planning system, that means there is no scrutiny or standards relating to design applied to those developments. It means they're only subject to building regulations, which have a limited remit.
What sort of issues are you seeing with some of the studios, apartments that have been built?
Well, I suppose the most obvious one is that many are very small. We have a new national space standard that doesn't apply in the case of permitted development. Apart from space, we have no building regulation for daylight. Many of them only have one window, and that means that there is no potential for cross-ventilation to keep you comfortable in summer, so overheating is an issue.
So in your view, permitted development doesn't work?
Well, certainly not all of it works, and I think because it's not scrutinised, it's very difficult to quantify what does and doesn't work. So I think the safest thing to do would be for it to go through the planning system in the normal way.
I've come to Croydon, 592 new homes were created here last year through office conversion, more than anywhere else in London. In September 2015, Croydon Council was given permission by government to introduce something called an Article 4, creating an exclusion zone in the centre of Croydon, in which developers can no longer bypass the council for planning permission. Labour councillor Alison Butler is deputy leader of Croydon Council.
It was clear that in Croydon it had gone too far, that too many people had come here and said they wanted to use permitted development, and we were losing commercial office space. And I think the second thing was that we had shown we did have a plan for our town centre. We did want to create an environment where there were homes and jobs.
All of those conversions that took place between 2015 and 16, did they happen because they got in before the exclusion zone applied, or has the council approved them since?
No, we haven't approved any permitted development in the Croydon Opportunity Area since. The difficulty you have with an Article 4, although we were allowed it, is that you have to give a year's notice of the Article 4 coming into place. And of course, people then rushed in to try and take advantage.
But homes are being created. This building in front of us is going to be 404 apartments.
Homes are being created, but we don't think you should bring forward housing at any cost. And if you go on to some of our estates, and particularly other estates in London, you see the mistakes of the past, and you know that you wouldn't have created those estates today if you had the opportunity. So cramming over 400 apartments into an office block, I don't think is a good answer. I don't think those are the homes that we necessarily need coming forward.
The government says that converting unused office space into homes is important if we're going to tackle the housing shortage. The Royal Institute of British Architects don't disagree with that, but they do think compact city living needs careful design.
So, come through. This is the front door, obviously. Hopefully what you'll immediately see is that there's quite a generous corridor.
Mark Blessing is founder and CEO of Pocket Living. They specialise in building small homes.
The living room is in here. And
this is all one room.
Yeah, it's one room. And it needs to have a very big window, floor-to-ceiling window, to maximise daylight. Because when you're living in a compact home, and these are not small homes, they're not micro homes, they're compact, you do need to maximise daylight.
And so what is the overall size of this one-bedroom flat?
38 square metres. I think you have to start from some very basic principles. So, for instance, how much storage do they need? How much kitchen space do they really need? When we set up Pocket, 38 square metres actually wasn't a standard. It became a standard because of us. In those days, it had to be 49 square metres. Now, we knew that 49 square metres was too big to make those flats affordable to young singles and couples in the kind of areas of London where we wanted to build. How much could you shrink the flat down before you got to a space that was no longer functional? To our mind, that was 38 square metres.
So no matter how well designed, anything below around 37 square metres is just too small for people to live in your view?
It's all very well to say 22 square metres, 25 square metres. If it gets people close to the centre of London, it's okay. And at some level, I accept that. How much could you shrink the flat before you got to a space that was no longer functional? If I'm really honest, anything that I've seen below 38 square metres makes me a bit nervous.
Mark Flessing, who thinks there's probably not much office space left now that anyone would want to convert. Other councils are looking to create exclusion zones, like the one in Croydon. It may be that it's already too late.